Celebrate the star.
Here's your WDEL Delaware AccuWeather forecast. Partly cloudy and mild the rest of tonight, a low of 62 degrees. Partly sunny, very warm tomorrow, a high of 80. Right now, still sunny, 71 degrees in Wilmington. I'm Joe Irizarry, WDEL News.
All right, WDEL News time now, 7:06. It's another Delaware High School Journalists and Communicators Night. Probably our last one of this academic year, and the reason simply is, you know, you get to May, and then you've got exams and some sports events and tests and prom, and everything is going on, so usually trying to set up May is very, very difficult. But I'm Alan Ludell, and I am very proud to have been able to meet Delaware's young people hosting this show now for 30 years on the air in Delaware, ever since 1987. And so we have our student journalists and some of the high schools represented. Well, they'll tell you. They're going to come up to our microphones here in the Bolden Brothers Performance Center. Tell us who you are and if you can think about one or two stories from your school. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Sophia Rose. I am from John Dickinson High School. I am a junior. And an interesting thing that just happened at our school recently is that we were covered in an article in Delaware Today about our International Baccalaureate program, which is the only one in Delaware to be offered free to the students. I'm actually a part of it. It's cool.
Everywhere else they have to pay.
Yeah, it's really expensive.
Wow. Well, Rod Dickinson, come on up.
Hello, I'm Samira Arshad, and I'm also from John Dickinson High School, and I love playing tennis, and today we literally won our sixth game, and we are still undefeated, and that's pretty cool.
Undefeated, congrats. Come on up.
Hi, I'm Micah Greenswag from Conrad Schools of Science, and we just recently changed our mascot from the Redskins to the Red Wolves, which is pretty great in terms of you know, being respectful and...
Right, that was covered in the media. Now, how did students feel about it?
There were definitely mixed reactions. There's still a lot of students who hold on to the old mascot and plenty of students who also are wanting to push forward and move on to new things and, you know...
Yeah, mascots have been one of those controversies.
Yeah.
Come on up.
Hi, my name is Paul Ryan. I'm a senior at Conrad School of
Paul
Science.
Paul Ryan, just like the house speaker.
Yes, exactly. Just like the speaker of the house. Very familiar name. We just recently, as a senior class, redid our senior lounge. And if any Conrad students are listening right now, I'd like to say thank you to those that helped. And it was only done because of your work and dedication, the money to fundraise for the TV that's about to be placed in there and the microwave that is soon to come and all the painting. Thank you.
Shout out to the students. Come on up.
Hi, my name is Maxim Nikolenko, and I'm from Dover High School. We just came back from a trip to the national competitions for We the People, and we got 36th place in the nation, and my personal team got 24th place. Proud to represent Delaware.
Cool. Come on up. And just remember to speak a little closer to the mic. Go on.
Hi, I'm Madden Massoff. I'm from Cab Calloway School of the Arts, and... our school just recently had our all-school gallery exhibition, so that all the visual arts students in the school chose a piece, and we do it annually towards the end of the year. So that's...
Okay. Now, did you guys hear that your school placed number two among Delaware high schools in the U.S. News rankings of high schools around America?
I did know that. I heard that.
Okay.
A couple years ago.
Oh, well, I mean, just happened again, just the last couple days.
Oh, that's good.
You got news right here on WDEL. Come on up. Congrats. Next.
Hi, my name is Olivia Thompson, and I attend Wilmington Christian School. I am a sophomore, and tomorrow's really exciting because it is our junior and senior prom, and it's at Harry Savoy's.
Well, maybe we'll bring up prom near the end of this. We always have an interesting discussion. Yes.
I'm Nina Kegelman from Ursuline Academy. I'm a senior, and some interesting thing that just happened was over our Easter recess, we had two trips going on. We had a group go to Dallas to visit another Ursuline school, and then a group go to France to get a little immersive experience.
Were these French students? And
yes, most of them were. They needed a couple extras just to tag along to pay for the trip. But
all right, cool. How many languages do they teach at Ursuline? You know,
four, I think. Four? Latin, Spanish, French, and Chinese.
On Chinese. Okay. First item, we had, tragically, a Delaware State Trooper, as you all know, fatally shot outside a Wawa convenience store in Bear. We had the barricade siege involving one of the two suspects in Middletown with his shooting death. National violent crime statistics in America are down. They are. Most places. Not necessarily Chicago or Wilmington or Baltimore, but they're down. Just wondering, I mean, as you heard Middletown residents and, you know, the shock, the surreal in their voices as they, you know, they were hearing it in the news, they never thought it would happen to them in their neighborhood. Well, just personally, do you ever think about crime? Do you have violent crime impacting you or your family, or has anything ever happened? Do you think we do have more crime than gets reported, or just the reverse? The media sensationalizes everything and makes us too scared. Just come on up, and let's see who our first person to answer that is. Give your name, where you're from, and your answer.
Hi, it's Sophia Rose from John Dickinson High School again, and I was actually homeschooled before I started attending John Dickinson. So when we decided to make the switch to public school, my mom actually had a great concern about, like, school shootings. And we had a real talk about this because we weren't sure what to expect. But the conclusion that we came to was that really violence can happen anywhere, not just in a school environment. Like, anytime you go to the mall or the movie theater or a church sometimes, it can happen. So in conclusion,
it's life.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, there are hunting accidents. It's just life, I guess. And if it makes you feel better or worse, I don't know. But at my high school, we had a student murdered just across from the high school. And this was in 1969, 1970. Another student was arrested. So it goes on. Yes.
Hi, Micah Greenswag from Conrad again. That's interesting that you say, like, do you ever think about that? Because I think that's something, like, danger and violence, we keep that in the back of our heads somewhere. We don't really, like, want to think about it on a daily basis. But we recently experienced something close to our school at Banning Park where a young girl was kidnapped and later found walking away from the area on her own.
That's right.
Yeah, so we had a few, like, activities canceled because of that, because it's so close to our school. It's only a few blocks away. And that's, like, it's so surreal to see, like, that kind of thing happen so close to, like, right at home areas. And, like, you don't think it's going to happen, but it does, like, all the time.
It's life. Anyone else on that, or I have a related question? Come on up.
One of the things that I...
Yeah, you are.
Oh, sorry. I'm Madden Massa from Cab Calloway. But with the sort of violence that happens on such a regular basis around the country, it sort of becomes a thing in your mind. It's so normalized until it happens close to home. So, like, you hear about a school shooting or some other thing that's occurred somewhere in the country, and it, like, after a while, because it happens so often, it's such a common occurrence, you almost become, like, desensitized to it, and you stop trying to think about what we could do about the problem. And I feel like that's kind of an issue. And I guess when it happens closer to home, that's maybe what starts prompting people to think about it more.
Wake up call.
Yeah.
Go on.
Hey, it's Nina from Ursuline Academy. And I do agree that when these issues come up, people do get desensitized to them over a long period of time. And it begs the question, like, why is this the normal? Like, what does it say about our culture that we're so used to these things? And, you know, I'm sure, you know, violence happens everywhere, and there's certain things you just can't prevent, but there's other things that you can prevent. So,
although you just said violence happens everywhere, at the risk of getting into a political discussion about the Second Amendment, in the entire country of Canada, you typically have the same number of fatal shootings as in one medium-sized U.S. city.
That's very true, and I think it's something that the United States needs to learn from other countries that do not have nearly as high a rate of violent crimes as we do.
Although we have a debate, don't we? I mean, Second Amendment vigorous defenders say if more ordinary law-abiding citizens had guns, maybe someone could have assisted the officer, for example, outside that Wawa. And the counter-argument is the more guns you have, even a sane person might get into an argument with a spouse or somebody one time when they're off the rails and use that gun. Or I remember in Memphis, Tennessee, where a woman put her purse with a gun in it at a Baskin-Robbins ice cream store, and it went off and hit another customer.
Right. There's accidents that comes along with having more guns, and it's another important thing to remember that there's a lot of training that goes into being able to use a gun properly. Not an everyday citizen can just go and shoot a target from far away and be safe. So it's definitely something that we need to learn more about and try to prevent.
Gotcha. Okay. Related. Bathroom brawl, Howard High School of Technology, which, by the way, also did well in the rankings of U.S. News. So that's a good thing for Howard. But tragically, we heard about the death of the young woman. Family court judge recently found another young woman guilty of criminally negligent homicide. third-degree criminal conspiracy, another classmate guilty, third-degree criminal conspiracy. If any of you have been following this case, when something like this happens, do you think the teen involved should be tried as an adult when somebody died? Or no, it was right to try this young woman, these young women as juveniles? Do you ever fear violence at your school? Or there might be an occasional skirmish, but you assume it's not going to escalate where someone is seriously injured or dies. Anyone want to tackle any of those related questions?
Hi, it's Micah from Conrad again. The question about do we try them as an adult or a child or a youth, it's a very, very gray question. It's hard to determine because that's so subjective, case by case. Like, if you have something like a petty crime, like just like shoplifting or something, like steal a pack of gum, like that's like nothing. Like, obviously, you're not going to want to try someone as an adult if they're 17. But when it comes to taking another person's life, that's a very serious matter. That, you know, in a high school, that's seems even more intense because that's a very, very large community in a small area of a very specific population of young people that are put in danger there.
And just a related question, can we expect that it's almost inevitable that once in a while there will be a fight at a high school?
I think fighting, yes. We are young. We have tons of hormones running through us, all sorts of craziness going on in our lives. We tend to be very self-centered, even though we try not to be or we think we aren't. And so that kind of stuff leads to problems all the time.
The attorneys for the young girls accused made the argument, and there is some psychological support to this, that the mind of a 15, 16, 17-year-old is not fully mature, and the processing is not as it would be for an adult.
Oh, yeah, that's totally true. If you take a psychology class and you learn about the development of the brain over time, like, we're not fully developed mentally until completely like later in life, and the brain's always changing and always rearranging and rewiring as we learn and study.
But
like,
is it that, or is it environment? And by that I mean you'll meet a 13-year-old who's already career driven and has a resume and is thinking about the future and would never do something dumb, and then you have a 17-year-old who doesn't at all think about the consequences.
Yeah, that's another good question of that nature versus nurture aspect there of, is it the how we raise our children and what we expose them to, or whether it's like media or the people they live with, or is it just like an innate kind of natural thing to try to like go after someone who's an enemy, which like I think as humans, probably not as much of an aggression thing, especially the way we're socialized nowadays to try to be respectful and a lot more civilized, so to speak.
That's the idea. That's the goal. Okay, one more gentleman. Yeah.
Yes, Paul Ryan from Conrad Schools of Science. I do have to agree with what you said about it being the environment. I know firsthand, for example, my mother works in an inner city school. She comes home and tells me stories about an elementary school fights, which I've never even heard of these kids, some of the violent acts they do in elementary school. I've gone from kindergarten to 12th grade not witnessing a single fight, and these kids see one almost every week. So like you said, the environment has a huge impact on the actions of the kids, even though it is programmed, or I wouldn't say programmed, but we acquire proper behavior through school. The environment we live in has a significant impact on.
Okay, one minute to our break. One more voice on this.
Hi, I'm Olivia Thompson, and I attend Wilmington Christian School, and I was going to agree with you on it all depends on the environment. I go to a Christian school, not saying it's perfect or anything, but I've never seen a fight go on. But it did scare me when I saw the story in the news, and that something like that may happen to my school.
Okay, I want you guys to be thinking next time, North Korea, how the president is doing, 100 days in office, sanctuary cities, and all the incidents on airplanes of late. So we got a lot coming up. WDL Delaware High School Journalism and Communicators Night at 7:20. Right back. Beauty queen style, high heels off. I'm feeling alive. All right, another segment to Delaware High School Journalism and Communicators Night, live from the Bolden Brothers Performance Center. I'm Alan Ludell with our student journalists. President Trump and his top national security advisors briefed members of Congress about North Korea. What do you think President Trump should do or not do about North Korea? Do you fear a miscalculation that could lead to a war? On the other hand, can we tolerate North Korea getting to the point where it could deliver a nuclear weapon on a missile capable of hitting California? Who wants to come in on those?
Hi, Maxim Nikolenko from Dover High School, senior. I think Donald Trump should not get too involved in Asia-Pacific because mostly, of course, it is right now North Korea. But the biggest, if you dig deeper into this whole situation there, the biggest clash which is happening there, and it might be the clash of the future, is between the United States and China. There is a huge armament going on right now in the Pacific Ocean. There are 400 military bases of the United States surrounding China, and China is building islands in the Pacific. So the biggest conflict there is not necessarily North Korea. It is between China and the United States.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because some have argued that Mr. Trump has become more flexible with China, because remember during the campaign, you know, have an economic trade war with China, readjust. But he needs China so much to pressure North Korea, the regime in Pyongyang, that now he is prepared to let up on China and try to foster a more cooperative relationship.
Well, in economic terms, China and the United States are very allied together. It's hard to find any other countries which could be more intertwined economically. But at the same time, there is a huge clash of interest because the two countries are economic powers. China is the second country in the world by GDP, and the United States so far is the first one. But the United States is also the biggest military power in the world, and certainly they have been building many, many bases.
Well, what about to my earlier question? Given the nature of the North Korean regime, I mean, this is a country which, I don't know whether people have really studied this. This is a country where if you are a person living in North Korea, there will be a radio tuned to the official station. It is actually a speaker that goes into your house, one channel, and you can't turn it off at night all the way. Or you'll have a picture of the great leader, because remember, you don't own your own house. The government does. You have a picture of Kim, and a government miter might come in and double-check whether you have cleaned the picture, that there's no dust on it. There is no other country in the world like that. And so for that reason, I think that people are scared. And the idea that the North Korean government could have eventually a missile with a nuke that could reach California. So, you know, what point does a U.S. president stop kicking the can down the road?
Well, you know, North Korea is indeed a very unique place in the world. And it's, of course, a very authoritarian dictatorship. But at the same time, the country is already under tremendous sanctions. And we saw that China has also responded to the missile test of North Korea by stop importing their coal. So basically, there is a huge pressure on North Korea. And the military installations which are installed by the United States in South Korea, in Japan, it's already enough. What we see right now is kind of a drive for greater militarization of the region, and it might be quite useless.
Well, I realize your counterpoint there, certainly, the idea that North Koreans are so paranoid about them being encircled that they respond the way they do. That's the other argument. Go ahead.
I'm Madden Massoff from Cab Calloway. And sort of in that same vein, with North Korea being the sort of isolated society that it is and having such military power and the ability to partake in all this nuclear warfare if they choose, it's a precarious situation because they do have this ability, and it seems that it would be a good idea for the United States to interfere with that, but is...
Who would you fear more, Iran or North Korea?
That's hard to say, really, because it's...
The
whole situation.
Okay, well, we have to break bottom of the hour in these 2 minutes preceding that. President Trump... 100 days. You and your classmates, are you pretty much in agreement or disagreement about him, or is there fierce division in your school? And of course, Delaware went for Hillary Clinton, but there are pockets of Trump support.
Paul Ryan from Conrad Schools of Science. I can definitely attest to there being an insane amount of tension in at least our school. You could cut it with a knife. It's insane. There is a very distinct group that is very pro-Trump and a very distinct group that is anti-Trump.
Do arguments erupt as a part of a class or just in a hallway, or do people just know how each other feels?
There are, I would say, just from personal experience, there are some private arguments, but there's no, fortunately, we haven't experienced any actual violence or anything we see around the country that has erupted because of it. Everyone does feel the mutual separation between parties. Now, we're all very good students, so we don't let that get in the way of our academics or any other activities that we're affiliated with, but it does exist and is present in the school environment.
Yeah. What about third party? Do you have anyone who's rapidly green or libertarian? Or
I think this election is so one side or the other that the third party has become so...
kind of evaporated.
Yes, it's evaporated. Yeah. It's become so irrelevant that no one even recognized it.
And that's not what people were predicting. That's interesting. Okay, we're going to have to take our bottom of the hour break. We can continue on Donald Trump, and then we'll be getting to airlines, aviation, as this broadcast continues. Delaware High School Journalism and Communicators Night, live from the Bolden Brothers Performance Center, and it's coming up on 7:30.
Live from Delaware's News Center, your source for news, Traffic Watch, AccuWeather, and local talk, 101.7 FM, 1150 AM WDEL.
Oh, sure.
It's 7:30, clear skies, 72 degrees in Wilmington. I'm Joe Irizarry, WDEL News. President Donald Trump's proposed tax overhaul includes raising the standard deduction to $24,000, and that could provide significant tax relief to middle-income families. But whether they pay more or less depends largely on details that have yet to be released, such as how the tax rates on individual income will be structured. Trump's plan reduces the number of tax rates from 7 to 3, but the administration has yet to determine the income levels for each bracket. A new survey shows 6 out of 10 teenagers say they take breaks from social media on occasion. More from correspondent Bill Rakoff.
The study says 58% of teenagers say they take significant breaks from social media, many of them voluntarily, while many others took involuntary breaks because of lost devices or their parents simply took them. So were the breaks worth it? Amanda Lenhart's with the AP NORC Center for Public Affairs Research.
It turns out that those who take the voluntary breaks felt that they had a pretty positive experience. They were glad that they had done it, whereas teens who are involuntarily knocked off of these platforms say that they wish they were back on.
Bill Rakoff, CBS News.
Police say a man fatally shot by officers in Bellefonte last week had fired at an officer. County police had previously said that 21-year-old Keith Price of Wilmington pointed a gun at an officer and was shot. Police now say that interviews and ballistic evidence show that Price fired one bullet at the officer on April 19th. Authorities located and tried to stop him, but Price refused to comply with their orders, crashed into an empty police vehicle before driving away from the scene and later fled on foot after another crash. Price was wanted in an April 9th shooting. Here's AccuWeather forecast. Partly cloudy and mild tonight, a low of 62. Partly sunny, warm tomorrow, a high of 80. Clear and 72 now in Wilmington. I'm Joe Irizarry, WDEL News.
101.7 FM, 1150 AM, WDEL, and WDEL.com. Committed to serving Delaware.
Everybody get up.
All right, and Delaware High School Journalism and Communicators Night. I apologize for the brief delay there. Somehow my headphone became disengaged, but I know we're on the air at 7:34. And once again, let's get some attitudes about President Trump, in particular, whether you have battles in your school. I don't mean physical, but among students. And who knows? I don't even know if a teacher would dare get involved. But people, let's just say, who are highly emotional and very opinionated about the topic.
It's Samara from John Dickinson High School. And in our school, actually, we were all really disappointed. And we were really with a Clinton party. And being a Muslim, there was a lot of contradiction going on. But when he banned all those 7 Muslim countries, people really started asking me, like, how do you feel about that? Are you scared or not? I was not scared because our school is
pretty open.
Yeah, it's pretty open.
May I ask, what is the country of your heritage?
Pakistan.
Okay.
So, which
is not one of the countries.
Yeah, it was not one of the countries, but it had, like, impact on people because I have seen, like, many people they have canceled their plans. They're not going back to Pakistan because they're just scared.
Anyone from your school, you just meet people you know?
There's one, they're family friends.
Okay.
So they are not going back. They recently planned going. And in our school, one of my friend, Ulysses, he was really concerned about it. He was, like, always asking me questions about it. And I had no concern. I was like, I really don't not care. But, like, my family is literally not planning to go back to Pakistan until Trump is president. So it has a big impact.
Okay. Anybody else? Get up to a microphone.
Maxim Nikolenko, senior of Dover High School. Our school has been very divided on this issue, and as some might know, this is a school of great diversity, so many people were actually for Hillary Clinton. But on the other side, we could say that President Trump has been very successful in the past 100 days because he implemented many executive orders. Some of them were controversial, others were not so much, but he did comply with some of his promises, which people voted him in for.
Well, I got to get you on this, and that is, it's often been said that Russia likes presidents who are predictable. And so in the old days, the Soviet Union actually preferred Republican presidents over Democratic presidents because Republican presidents were more predictable. You know, for example, Democrat Jimmy Carter with the grain embargo of the Soviet Union after the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan in 1979. And it was said that there would be a new relationship between the U.S. and Russia with the Trump administration. But now it almost seems as though Trump has to prove that he's not in Russia's puppet. And so arguably, I mean, it was Russian media that had said probably U.S.-Russian relations are the very worst they have been since the end of the Cold War.
Yes, it is very true because, first of all, Trump has never been a Russian puppet. And the important thing to understand here is that who are the people who surround Donald Trump? And the pressure that was coming from the Democratic Party mostly about Russia has eventually mounted to Republicans because if Trump's team or Trump's or Trump himself will show some sympathy towards Russia, it will be immediately related as a Putin's puppet. Basically, there is a huge atmosphere of fear to be sidelining or trying to improve relationship with Russia, and it kind of reminds some of the experts of McCarthy era.
All right, next.
Hi, I'm Olivia Thompson, and what's interesting about my school is that we're all united in the fact where we're all mostly Republican, but we kind of argue about, is it right for a Republican to support Donald Trump? And we all kind of are united in, we really don't want Hillary Clinton to win, but we don't want Donald Trump to win. So that was kind of like most of the discussion that we had.
And let me guess, Hillary Clinton 100% pro-choice on abortion, religious freedom, the sense of that is of concern to evangelicals. And then on the right, well, Trump may talk a good game, but look at his personal life and exactly. His secularism.
Right, exactly.
What you're saying is more people in your school are Republican, perhaps because of religious background, but you really felt kind of out in this election right. Where it was difficult to back anyone.
Right. So, of course, all the teachers and students really didn't support Hillary Clinton because of her pro-choice kind of platform, and we just really couldn't stand behind that. But we thought in the long run, Donald Trump's policies in his personal life.
Well, Supreme Court, for example.
Right, exactly. That was awesome for my school. We were really happy about that, that there's now mostly Republicans.
But just to press one theological issue, though, what about treatment of minorities, immigrants? Some could argue those are deep Christian issues, too.
Yeah, of course. That was mostly, like, our main issue with him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we, like, of course, like I said, a lot of people argue. This was like our argument and kind of like our thoughts during our classroom discussions.
Well,
and it's hard.
You good know to hear that you were having discussions about current events like that,
right.
Mm-hmm. Civic participation. One more.
I'm Madden Mossoff from Cab Calloway. And Cab Calloway being Cab Calloway School of the Arts, it's an arts school, and so
it's artsy.
predictably, most of the student population is pretty liberal. There's definitely a good amount of people who are conservative as well, but the majority are pretty liberal, and so there was sort of when Donald Trump was elected, there was this really widespread sort of sense of like fear,
yeah.
and it's sort of been like really kind of emotional, just
understood
because there's,
well, let me ask people here, and then I want to go to airplanes because that's such a hot topic. We just heard from Wilmington Christian School about how people are kind of really divided because of the each candidate, their lives and their positions. As much as we have this great divide between Trump supporters and Clinton supporters, between D's and R's, anyone else in this group, you yourselves personally, or you know people who themselves were really divided in this election, who really couldn't support anybody? You know, I mean, the Libertarian candidate didn't seem to know about the world. The Green Party candidate, some thought that what she advocated was completely unrealistic. And Trump's personal life and some of his positions, and some would say he's not a true conservative on some issues, and Hillary Clinton, some say, was a very damaged candidate. So anyone who didn't like anybody.
Madden Mossoff, still from Cab Calloway. I definitely personally know a whole lot of people who were completely like, I can't vote for either candidate. I know people who, you know, like the Bernie or bust people who, as soon as Bernie Sanders was out of the race, there was like, you know, we like.
Oh, I got to ask everybody here. Latest national poll, the most popular current politician in the United States is Bernie Sanders. Does that surprise you? Or would it be fair to say a good number of people are pretty pro-Bernie to this day?
No, that's sort of something that would be predictable. And I think that's sort of that group of people, the people who were really intense Bernie supporters, then go and vote for a third party. And I also knew people on the other side who are conservative, but they're like, I'm not, you know, with Trump's stance on things like minorities and immigration and LGBT rights are like, I can't support that, but
so
I can't.
So some of the social
Hillary
stuff, but they're conservative.
And, yeah, so I have relatives who voted for Gary Johnson, and, you know, which is, it's understandable, all of it,
sure.
I think.
But does anyone here in this room like Mike Pence, the vice president? Just curious.
No.
What? Okay. Wilmington Christian. Okay. Come on up. One more. We'll do planes in a second.
So on Bernie Sanders, I think what's really interesting about this whole election cycle. Oh, by the way, Sophia Rose from Dickinson High School. Sorry.
Thank you, Sophia. Just like the Bulgarian capital.
So Bernie Sanders and Trump were both really unusual candidates. They both came from a lot of distrust with politicians right now. So the whole thing that Trump ran behind, I'm not the regular politician that you see, but neither was Bernie Sanders, which was why it would have been interesting to see them run against one another. It came from a lot of upheaval within the parties and dissatisfaction with the standstill between Democrats and Republicans. And I definitely like to see what Bernie Sanders does in the future because he's got some interesting ideas.
Incidentally, there have been some voters polling who were more inclined to vote if they couldn't vote for Trump, vote for Sanders and vice versa. We're seeing it in France now in the second round of the French presidential election where some from the far left are prepared to vote for the far right. Yes, and now I want to get to airplanes. Okay, well, let's do that right now. We keep hearing and seeing video about unpleasant incidents for passengers on airplanes. This time, most recent story, Delta kicked a passenger off a plane because the passenger had to go. And passenger was told, no, you can't do that, and the plane was on the tarmac for a half hour. There are some FAA rules, but anyway, he used the restroom, and then the plane went back to the gate, and they kicked him out. So bad PR. And, of course, everything with United Airlines, whether it be pets dying or the celebrated incident involving the passenger. Okay, Considering then, I know I'm building up this question from the negative, but considering long wait at gates, sometimes deeply personal searches of passengers losing their flight because of overbooked flights, cramped conditions, flight delays, possibility of losing your baggage. Why would anyone, other than you want to go to Europe or the Caribbean in the worst way, but why would anyone within reason, if they could drive it, not drive it rather than fly today? And I speak as one who drives Quebec City to Wilmington one day, no problem, or Chicago, no problem, but go on.
Paul Ryan from Conrad Schools of Science. I think the biggest reason why people fly is just time. Driving from Delaware to Florida does take a long time. I know I just flew to Florida.
Yeah.
It took me about 2 hours to get to Florida.
Yeah, it's probably 2 days.
Yes.
But on the other hand, just to play devil's advocate, if when you count having to get there early and getting your baggage in, then you got to worry about your baggage. If I leave early in the morning, 5 in the morning, I can be in Chicago by 9 p.m. and I get the time shift in my favor. And meanwhile, I can take anything back. I don't have to worry about misplaced baggage. It's cost me less. I picturesque scenery along the way. Now, yeah, if I'm a business person, I got to fly. But I'm just saying, do you think this is going to change anyone's attitudes or no? People who are inclined to drive are going to drive. People who are inclined to fly will take all the things that go wrong.
No, I think people still will fly. Like you just said, you drive to Chicago. Is that what you said? Correct? Yes. But how do you feel when you get to Chicago? You just drove all the way to Chicago.
Great. I'm in my car, and I don't have to hire a rental. I can go right to my favorite pizza place. I'm fine.
Are you tired when you get there?
Yeah, but I'm tired from battling an airport and standing in line and being checked and checked again and then waiting for my baggage and trying to get a rental.
You could sleep on the plane or like I did on the way to Florida over my spring break. I did my work that I was assigned to school.
Yeah.
So if I drove or had somebody drive me, I've ever tried to do homework in a car, so it doesn't go well.
Sometimes I take a rest stop break, a half hour.
So that's even longer in the drive. So now, yes.
All right, well, your points are well taken, and some people are going to fly. But we get to, at what point do the airlines, and some critics say maximizing their profits, which is why we get all the passengers bumped, at what point are airlines going to disinvite, or people are going to be disinclined to use airlines, except again for, you know, I mean, you're going to go to L.A., of course you got to fly, unless you got a month for a drive. Yeah.
Madden Massoff from Cab Calloway. It's definitely a lot of the reason that people fly is for the convenience of it and the time again. And I think it takes a lot for a thing that's so ingrained in society as, you know, airlines, to get people to step away from that and sort of have it fade out, even if it's not working right or if there's a problem.
How about the pets dying on the planes?
Oh yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff like that. Really, there's the stories that
and I don't mean to diss airplanes. My daughter's an airline attendant. Okay, but yes,
Micah from Conrad. One thing about traveling and that kind of area of conversation, I think it's not an issue of like, will you be deterred from traveling one way or another? I think especially with airlines, there's so many options of what airline you can take that. It's up to the consumer to look at like what their options are and what they see.
Although the critics say with monopolization with airline mergers, there's not very many choices from airport to airport.
Right, but aside from this airline that we just had the issue with, there are others aside from that one. So people can take different airlines and they do have options. So and we also have, aside from like driving, there's like trains too and just... I don't know.
Okay, we have 1 minute before our break, before we go to the end time prom season. One of you just mentioned that. To your knowledge, does everybody you know go to prom, or is it okay not to? Come on up, just a minute.
So, Sophia Rose from John Dickinson High School. Our prom is on Saturday, so that's wild. But a lot of people aren't going. Like, most seniors are going, so it's a combination junior-senior prom, and a lot of seniors are going, but it's not, like, as required as...
Well, you mean socially required, because obviously...
Yeah. Socially required.
Okay. Yes?
I think people don't go sometimes because... Right, I'm Olivia from Wilmington Christian School. I think people don't go sometimes because they don't have a date. And I think that's awful just to go. I think you should just go with friends, and you're never going to be in high school again. So
But is it worth paying all that money to do it, or am I exaggerating?
Oh, really? Of course. I think you're never going to be in high school again, and you're going to regret it if you don't go.
So
I didn't, and I didn't, I don't. But
Micah from Conrad, I think it's a matter of like who you are as a person. Some people are a lot more social and more inclined to be in larger groups of people, whereas other students are like, I just want to do my own thing. Like, why would I pay like so much money when I can just stay home and
eat food there? Well, I just hate the idea that somebody really feels very saddened because they weren't asked out and they just don't feel
right,
they can go.
Yeah.
We're going to break. We're going to come back with some of your favorite recommendations on books, movies, theater, video games, whatever, just a moment. Delaware High School Journalists and Communicators Night at 7:50. Just anything you want to give a shout out about, your private critique of something for a broader audience. Come on up.
Maxim Nikolenko, senior of Dover High School. I tend to read many political books and watch documentary films on politics, and one of my favorite documentary filmmakers and journalists is John Pilger. He wrote many great books, and actually he made a very, very nice documentary recently, The Coming War on China, that's how it's called. And it is extremely informative, and I extremely enjoyed his information, how he put the facts together.
So you're a nonfiction reader just like me. All right.
Yes.
Love it. Okay. Come on up.
It's Samara from John Dickinson High School. I'm really not fond of reading, but recently I read a book, Written in the Stars by Aisha Said, and that was really good book.
I'm sorry, what was it?
Written in the Stars.
Okay.
And it was related to my culture, like how a Pakistani girl has no, like she's not allowed to make her decisions, like her life decisions. And I somehow related that to myself.
By the way, dare I ask you something? I'm sorry. Yeah. This is a follow-up. You know, people of your heritage going back to Pakistan. Is a person less likely to want to go back if they think that they're going to have to be more traditional, arranged marriages and all, and people from the subcontinent feel freer in the United States?
In my family, we never have like a conversation on this topic. So, but I personally think, I don't know.
Just wondered. I mean, just the sense that in America there is that freedom.
I don't know what's.
Although there
happen.
Are arranged marriages in America too.
Well, according to my tradition, I don't think it's going to happen with me. Like, I will have to follow my parents' decisions.
Oh, so you will take your...
I don't know. I seriously don't know. I have never thought about it.
Yeah.
But that book was really good. Sometimes it's really hard for me to explain some things, like things especially I cannot do. Like, it's really hard for me to explain to other students. So that book was like... After reading that, I was suggesting it to every single person. Like, read it if you want to know a Muslim girl and how she survives in the U.S. So that was pretty good.
My first Pakistani book in school was Punjabi Century, and then I started reading Dawn and the news of Karachi and all, and became more aware of Pakistan. Okay, come around.
Hi, I'm Olivia Thompson, and a couple of years ago, I read the book 13 Reasons Why. And recently there has been a Netflix series out about it, and I don't know about anybody else's school, but my school has been talking a lot about it, and everybody has seemed to watch it. And it's about this girl who committed suicide, unfortunately, and she left tapes to all the people who she thinks have caused her suicide.
Oh, wow.
And she gave, it's very deep, but it's an important message. So.
Yeah. Yes.
Madden Masoff from Cab Calloway. Recently, I read the book, it's called Tranny, it's by Laura Jane Grace. She's a transgender woman, she's the singer of the band Against Me, and I've been a fan of Against Me, and so that was like, I was excited to read the book because I really like the band and I really like the singer.
Which is how you heard about the book?
Yeah, yes, yeah. Because I follow like what Laura Jane Grace does and stuff, yeah. But it was a really good, it was like an interesting read because it's not only explanatory, it's not only like a good, real, it's a memoir, it's an example of sort of her own struggles as a transgender person, but also as like in the beginnings of like the band and in the punk rock community. Mm-hmm. And it's all intertwined, and it's...
Too bad you missed our previous student journalist. We did a whole lot in transgender bathrooms, but can't cover everything in an hour. Anybody else? Come on up.
Hi, I'm Sophia Rose from John Dickinson High School. Two things. Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood. I'm reading it right now, and it's incredible. It's about this in-the-near-future dystopian society where a woman doesn't have control over her own reproductive rights. And it's actually being made into a Hulu show. I think it just aired, like, yesterday or something. So definitely going to watch that. And to jump off your comment about 13 Reasons Why, actually, I've watched the show, and it's pretty awful, in my opinion, in its portrayal of, like, teenage struggles with that kind of thing, because it's incredibly unrealistic, and it does not, like, suicide is a terrible thing, and the show actually romanticizes it and shows it very graphically, which is not great for teenage viewers, as obviously the show is directed towards. And also, everyone says that this show has, like, such a great message, but if you need a TV show to say don't bully people, then that's kind of silly.
You know, that would be a whole different topic for us, and that is suicides in social media and social media being a trigger. But I'm afraid we're out of time. We're always out of time when we can get going on something else. I wish you all the best with prom and exams and any athletic activities in which you're involved, and certainly summer jobs if you're trying to get a college into a college, all that. And parents and teachers who showed up, it was a wonderful evening and hour. But don't scurry out. We're going to do trivia for a few seconds after we get off the air. So, Delaware High School Journalists and Communicators Night, I'm Alan Liddell. We loved our crew here today, and we thank all of you for coming by.